You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
International research to understand the relationship between degenerative brain diseases and head knocks that occur in contact sports continues to develop, with New Zealand researchers calling for a delay in children's involvement in contact sports until they are older. Risk factors are not exclusive to concussions or to professional players. I spoke to Dr. Helen Murray, Senior Research Fellow and Head of Brain Injury and Neurodegeneration Research at Waipapa Taumātoro about this topic. Kia ora, Helen. Would you be able to elaborate on the breadth of contact sports that are risky?
Yeah, so when we're looking at repeated head impacts and that exposure to these sort of, you know, repeated head knocks, the sports that we play in New Zealand that we come to mind the most are things like rugby, football or soccer, however you want to call it, and then other sports as well that might not be as well known. I play ice hockey, and that definitely falls into the category of repeated head knocks. But then, you know, as we talk to more and more people, we realise that there's lots of other sports that could also be involved there as well. You know, I've talked to netballers that have had quite a few concussions and head knocks, and field hockey players. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily limited to any one sport. There's probably a range of sports, but we want to be a little bit careful around how many head knocks we get.
What changes occur between the ages of 8 or 9, where we do see a lot of tamariki in New Zealand pick up contact sports, to the ages of 13 or 14 that's being advised to be a bit of a risk reduction for any future complications?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting question. So it's not necessarily something about, you know, brain development that we're targeting here. The research is really showing that it's the number of years of cumulative exposure to these head impacts over a long, long period of time that is the biggest risk factor for long-term brain disease. So what that means is that people who play collision sports for a very long time and experience lots of head knocks, hundreds or thousands of these over their lifetime, have a higher risk. And so what we're saying is that one of the easiest things that we can do to make our sports a bit safer in the long term is to reduce the number of years of contact exposure. And so if you have a kid that starts playing, say, age 5, and another kid who starts playing age 15, contact, you know, the one who started at age 5 has had 10 years more exposure if they keep going. So by starting at age 15, we're essentially trying to reduce the number of years of head contact, head collision.
In addition to reducing the cumulative number of years of head contact and collision, how else do statistics gathered about the increased risks of degenerative brain diseases translate from world-class professional athletes that might be at the centre of some of these studies to the abilities and gameplay of local communities?
Yeah, this is another really good question. You know, the majority of studies that we do looking, you know, across populations that quite often do come from professional level, because we've got a lot of data around how many minutes they've played, their head injury assessments and that kind of thing. But it does really translate to our grassroots and our amateur and our social players as well, because essentially what we're learning is, again, it's about that cumulative exposure. So there's not like a specific number of concussions or a number of years of play that is, you know, specifically dangerous for everyone. It's about that exposure over a long period of time. And, you know, we study brains of former athletes after they passed away at the Human Brain Bank at the medical school. And you know, we see in people who have been professional athletes and also in amateur athletes that these brain diseases can occur in these groups. So it's not restricted to professional athletes. We do want to encourage anyone playing collision sports, and especially things like you know, boxing, martial arts, where there can be a lot of head contact. You know, we want to reduce that as much as possible to reduce that risk.
In May earlier this year, Palmerston North teen Ryan Satterthwaite tragically passed away from participating in the Run It Straight Challenge. What are your thoughts on approaching unregulated trends that can cause head-on combat and harm in this way?
Yeah, you know, I recognise that everyone is going to have a different appetite for risk. You know, some people will look at this information and go, yep, you know, I want to do it anyway. But what I would really encourage people to think about is just that long-term view of, you know, a brain disease is really a horrific thing to go through for both yourself and your family. It really strips away everything you are as a person. And so by protecting your brain health, you're really making sure that you live, you know, the best life that you can for a long time. And so I just think, you know, a moment of caution to think about some of these things that are really high risk, and things like the Run It Straight were particularly dangerous because there was an intent to collide, it was at pace, the speed involved, and there's this element of, you know, having to show off to a judge, which can, you know, increase that damage again. So we just really want to highlight, you know, your brain is so precious. It is who you are, essentially, is because of your brain. And so, you know, please look after it. It's a delicate organ that isn't very good at regenerating itself. So we need to do everything we can to look after it.
And how do you best perceive a path to that cultural shift required to change habits around sporting passions and uptake for our tamariki starting at that young age?
I think it's already starting to happen. You know, a lot of our sports are really taking this seriously now. There's been a lot of great initiatives from New Zealand Rugby in terms of, you know, making sure that people pay attention to head injuries at the professional game, and it's getting into the grassroots more as well. I think as a society, we're a bit more aware of what a concussion is and what head knocks are, and, you know, why we should be limiting that. So I think, you know, we're moving in the right direction. But it is really about admitting, you know, to yourself. I think as an athlete, I know it's sometimes it's really hard to go, actually, I'm not sure if I'm okay. And it's a courageous thing to do, to actually step back and give yourself a moment to recover. I think it's really important that we keep up that message, that we look after each other, especially in our team sports when we're playing alongside each other and you might notice someone isn't quite doing so well. These are all the things that, you know, we want to do to protect ourselves in the game, but also, you know, for future years as well.
And what's next for your mahi and research in this area?
Yeah, our main goal with our research, you know, from talking to athletes, families of people who have been affected by these brain diseases, is diagnosis. The number one thing that people are struggling with is hard to know sometimes if the symptoms people are experiencing, especially when they're quite young, are related to a degenerative brain disease or potentially something else. And so we want to give people some idea of, you know, what they're dealing with, and that is also really important for developing clinical trials and therapeutics, because if you don't know who to treat, you can't really you know, develop these sorts of things to help people. So our number one goal is to develop MRI scans, blood tests, some kind of, you know, battery of tests and tools that will help us give people a sense of, you know, hey, actually, your brain isn't doing so well just now. Maybe you need to rest and recover. Or, you know, you could be developing something that's potentially going to be long-lasting here. So just giving people more information around what their brain health is doing.
That was Dr. Helen Murray, Senior Research Fellow and Head of Brain Injury and Neurodegeneration Research at Waipapa Tau Mātoro, on the recommendation to delay our tamariki starting contact sports until their early teens to reduce the risk of degenerative brain diseases later in life.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.